Ferniehoe.
Hi, my name is Gina. I was born in 1973.
People living in Cumbria talking about their life.
They rang me up and they said, oh no, you don't qualify for funding. So I said, so you're saying that it's perfectly acceptable for me to be childless, because unless I've got £6,000, I can't have IVF on the NHS.
The highs and the lows.
The IVF treatment that you underwent, you and Dave, sadly it didn't work. No children.
No children.
From birth to present.
And it just felt like just somebody had just ripped my heart out.
Life stories on BBC Radio Cumbria.
This is my story.
Can you see, Gina, where I'm coming from? I know we mentioned this earlier this week, talking about crossroads in life. You come across as such a wonderful, deliciously bubbly, outgoing, strong personality type individual. You almost don't do yourself a favour. Does that make sense?
This is something that I get told all the time. I'm the world's worst at taking compliments. I always help other people, but I don't show myself the same compassion. And this is one thing that's in my work in progress that trying to love myself without sounding big-headed or anything, or completely cuckoo.
Despite what life throws at you, you kind of dust yourself down, you pick yourself up, and you do move forward. You created your 40 in 40. This is just genius. Tell us more.
Well, obviously, with the when the IVF failed and kind of come to deal with that, it's sort of like, right, what can I do to try and like almost like take control back of my life? So I was always, you know, I've run from probably about the last 20 years. Running kind of came about. My ex-husband and I used to go mountain biking. And after being left, because he was a lot fitter than me, he used to race and stuff, I'd be there cycling behind all the time. And I just got thoroughly cheesed off with it. So I sold my mountain bike and thought, what can I do? And a friend's mum suggested, why don't you go running? So that started my run, did the Great North Run a couple of times, did the marathon when I was 30. And so I thought, right, well, I'm coming up 40, I'm going to do a London Marathon again. And there was the Keswick to Barrow walk I wanted to do, the Yorkshire Three Peaks, climb Snowdon. So there was a few sort of bits and pieces that I thought, right, I'm going to do these before I'm 40, or, you know. And then I was out for dinner with a friend, and he said, oh, that's great you're doing all that. You know, I'm glad that you're sort of feeling a bit better and, you know, you're sort of, you know, being positive and moving forward in a positive way. And he said, well, why don't you do 40 things before you're 40? And I thought, do you know what, actually? And I just started my blog, and he said, you know, you could do things and just blog about your experience and, you know, have this list. So as I was driving round, I'd have a notebook in about, you know, think, oh, yeah, I'll do that, do this. And I think I got to about 25, and then I took to Twitter and said, right, I'm doing this. Anybody got any suggestions? So once I got over the Twitter pervs that were like, oh, naked trampolining and all of this kind of ilk of things, there was a few suggestions that actually did make it onto my list. And so that was it. It's like, right, there's my 40 at 40 list.
I think that was my first introduction to Gina in the run-up to you completing this 40 at 40. And the fact that you had so many people following you on your blog, did that take you back a bit?
It did, because when somebody asked me, when they were setting up their own blog, and they said, when you write or when you do things on there, what do you envisage? And I said, well, when I write my blog, it's like I'm writing in a diary, and it's just for me, like, to document what I do and everything else. And the fact that people read it, and going back to, I did a couple of blogs on depression, and people's reaction to that and their comments, and it just kind of blows me away that people actually take time to read it. I suppose when we did a biz quiz with Beth, who's a writer, we said blogs and social media are a testament to people's nosiness, so they always want to know what's going on. But yeah, so I decided that when I was 39, in my 40th year, I would try and do all of these crazy things.
40 of 40. No 40 pressure, 40. Then.
No pressure. No,
no pressure,
pressure
at all. No.
No pressure. So the first thing I did was a Via Ferrata Extreme at Honister, which was completely out of my comfort zone. And it just kind of, you know, people kind of sort of got swept along with it. So I put on social media, I was struggling to find somebody to do abseiling. So a guy who lived down in Lancaster messaged me and said, Gina, I'll come and do it for a tray of your chocolate brownies. And as I said, really? I said, I think I'm getting a better deal here. And he went, no, I've heard how legendary your brownies are. So so that was one of my favourite things, because we did it in Cathedral Caves. And again, it was a really, you know, again, out of my comfort zone. I'm not like brilliant at height, especially not when I'm dangling by a rope, but he was just so nice, and you know, you kind of, and everybody sort of got on board with it.
Can you just think of one moment where you were in the middle of one of these challenges and you honestly thought to yourself, what am I doing here?
I think that's what paramount on the Keswick to Barrow, where I got the most awful blisters at about 30 miles, and I thought, I've still got another 10 miles to go.
You've now created a fabulist.
Yes, well, it's kind of like a bucket list, but I'm not planning on dying anytime soon.
Pleased to hear that.
So it's just, as I was doing my 40 at 40 list, people, again, kind of sort of getting on board with the concept of it, said, oh, have you thought about doing this? And kind of put suggestions through. So I thought, oh, actually, what I should do is write all these down, because, you know, it's just... things to do for life, really. So,
why not?
So I've done a few things off them. I've done, I did the Braithey Windermere Marathon, which was one of the hardest marathons I think I've ever run, because obviously it's round the lake and it's very, very hilly. What else have I done? Went to a roller disco.
Yeah, you see, I've got this one marked down here, roller disco. I would need some serious knee pads and elbow pads for that one.
Well, I think myself and my friend Tracy had much more fun than her two daughters. We're like, isn't this brilliant? And we got dressed up with a sort of like in a bright pink afro wig and fishnet gloves and a tutu, and yeah, the girls didn't really stand a chance, really.
When you go for it, Gina, you go for it. Also, on this fabulous, this list for life, I note here, you learnt to pout.
I did. Well, as people who follow me on social media know that I am a bit of a fan of the selfie, and yeah, so perfecting the pout was a definite, as a selfie queen, you've got to have a pouting selfie. So the secret is, apparently, you put your lips together and you say prune.
Prune.
See, perfect. Prune.
If I got a
you've got perfect pout.
If I've got
there.
A perfect pout there.
You have.
Dude. Victoria Beckham springs to mind?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. Moving on swiftly. You've done so much, the Windermere Marathon, the London Marathon. Running for many, it's very isolated, but it gives you that thinking time. Is that key to you?
It is key to me, but it's also, especially last year when I was training for London, because I am a busy lady, I can distract. So if I have a thought that I'm not comfortable with, I can distract my mind and, you know, kind of brush it aside. Whereas when I'm running, it was really tough last year. In that when I'm running, I'm not distracted. So every thought that I've pushed down, it just rebounds and comes back. Sometimes I've been, you know, running and almost like had a panic attack, and I have to kind of stop and just go, right, come on, Gina, you need to just get a bit of a grip here. And I would ring David going, you're gonna have to come and pick me up. And he said, I'm not gonna come and pick you up unless you've injured yourself. Which, ironically, I did do a few weeks ago.
You're getting treatment at the moment. How serious an injury are we talking?
I was out for a training run Easter Saturday, and obviously it was only like a few weeks to go before the London Marathon, which I was doing this year. I was doing it for the Braithey Trust. I just felt something go, and I thought, oh, come on, run through it, come on. And I rang Dave and said, you're going to have to come and get me because I can't walk.
Here we go again. Poor Dave. Oh, no, she's on the blower. What's happened now? Gina, it's been an absolute delight sharing a microphone with you this week. Life stories here on BBC Radio Cumbria. That delicious smile of yours. The world is a better place when you're in it. Take it from me. You've been an absolute belter this week.
Thank you for having me. I'm very honoured that you considered me for this.
I'm glad you've been there, the other side of the mic this week. It's been an absolute pleasure. Cheers.
Thank you.
So there you go. That is my story.